When I say the Energizer Bunny, what do you think of? Just shout it out. Okay, batteries, but what kind of batteries? Energizer. But how about an adjective to describe those Energizer Bunnies or batteries that's supposed to be demonstrated by that Energizer Bunny? What is it? They're powerful. They're long-lasting. I would even say they are persevering, if you will, batteries, right? They go on and on and on and on. Now, this morning, what I'm going to talk about from God's Word, I'm only going to look at one verse in Philippians, but don't let that get you all excited, because we're going to be looking at a lot of different verses. If we have to unplug and don't get all the way through the message, that's fine. But we're going to be talking about perseverance, or standing fast for the Lord. Standing fast, or persevering for the Lord. You see, there's a lot of distractions in this world. Would y'all agree with that? And those distractions will be used by the old devil in our own flesh many times to get us off of course and to get us from persevering or standing fast for the Lord. Now, sometimes things come up in our life, don't they? And if we're not very careful, we'll let those things hinder our walk with God. It's very, very important. You know, you don't really praise a runner who runs in a race for about a few minutes and then quits. You know, not too many people are waiting at the finish line. Now, we don't know the story. We don't. You know, it's not like, yeah, you ran half a race. I mean, really? Would you agree with that? Well, you're looking to people that finish the whole race. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not home yet. You are not home. Now, you might have some years on you. There I go, encouraging you again. You might have some years on you, but God is not done with you. It's really not that you just start strong. Really, my goal in life, and I think a lot about this, I want to finish strong. And the only way I'm going to finish strong for the Lord is by persevering, standing fast for the Lord. Now, the verse that we're looking at, we're going to kind of use it, we're going to explain it, talk about it, then we're going to use it as a springboard to talk a little bit more about persevering or standing fast for the Lord in various places in the Bible. It's mentioned, all right? So if you turn in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now, we've gone through the book of Philippians verse by verse, and we're on the last chapter. Now, this is, this again, in case you've missed it, in case you've slept through this part, this book was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to the Philippian church, a local church that was started when Paul went through there on his missionary journeys. Remember the Philippian jailer and his family got saved? Remember Lydia and her family got saved? So they started a church there. In my mind, it very possibly could have been in Lydia's house because she wanted the missionaries to stay in her house and take care of them while they were in the area. So sounds like she had the gift of hospitality. So it sounds like that she might have said, hey, y'all come and start meeting in our church, or our house, that is. Let the church be meeting in our house. So it was a new church. Paul looks to this church, as you're going to see in this verse, very fondly. It's really the most personal of all of the letters that Paul wrote to a church. You can tell that he has a connection with this church. You can tell that he cares deeply about the members of this church. He has good thoughts and good memories of being with these people. So as you read this, now Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He really doesn't know whether they're going to pull him out of house arrest and kill him, or pull him out of house arrest and let him go. Now, there's pretty good evidence that Paul most likely got out of this imprisonment, but he doesn't know. But he writes to this church who he's very fond of, and he keeps talking about, you know what? You need to live the Christian life. You need to make sure that you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And he's also keeps saying, and make sure that you got the joy of the Lord in your heart. He talks about joy. And we're kind of like scratching our head saying, whoa, that's something. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's look at that verse, all right? It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now we're going to pick that verse apart, and then we're going to focus on one phrase in particular, all right? He says, therefore. Now what have I taught you in my 7+ years of being here? When you see a therefore, you look back at the verses before that to see what it's there for. Because it's referring back. So it says, therefore. But how far is it referring back? Now sometimes, you know, people say, well, I think it's referring to the whole chapter. I think it's referring just to the... And we don't know for certain. But I believe when it says, therefore, you go back to verses 20 and 21. And we preached that last Sunday. Notice it says, for our conversation, I talked about that, that's probably speaking of our citizenship, is in heaven. So since our citizenship is in heaven, we are citizens of heaven. We're only here for a little bit. We're going to die and live forever. If the Lord don't come back first. We're going to die from this earth. Our body's going to lay down. Our spirit and souls will live forever. Go to be with Jesus, right? So it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? That tells us that Jesus is coming back, right? So therefore, since we're citizens of heaven, not here, therefore, since we know Jesus is coming back from heaven, and it goes on, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What's that tell us? I'm going to have a brand new body. I'm kind of excited about that. Can you tell? I'm going to have a brand new body. But it's not going to be a mortal. It's going to be an immortal body. It will not die. It is incorruptible. It cannot even be corrupted. So the therefore is, first of all, our citizenship is in heaven. Secondly, Jesus is coming back. Third, we're going to get brand new bodies. And then it goes on to say, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what that tells me? That tells me that my God is all powerful. He is supreme. There's nothing that he cannot do, and there is no one that's bigger than God. So the therefore is therefore because this is not our home, heaven is. Citizenship in heaven. Secondly, Jesus is coming back to get us. Third, we're going to have a brand new body, a whole lot better than what we got now, and it's going to be immortal and incorruptible. And fourthly, there's nobody bigger or more powerful than our God. And he makes that point, and he says, therefore, what? My brethren, dearly beloved. You know, the brethren... Paul saw the fellow believers at Philippi as family members. Hello? Family members. I did not grow up necessarily in that tradition of saying this a lot, like there's Brother John. But a lot of churches do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's Sister Marcia. And there, you know, and they use that a lot. There's brother, you know, and sister. Why is that? He uses the word brethren. Is a biblical thing. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. I didn't grow up necessarily calling someone brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, but it's a good practice. Why? Why do we call each other brothers and sisters? I call it brethren and cistern. Why is that? It's because we're family. Let me tell you, the world... is mean. You figured that out? Generally speaking, the world is mean. Now, you don't have to look too far back to see the evil in the world, right? When someone experiencing or exercising free speech is gunned down at a rally mercilessly, there's a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of bad things out there. But you know what? When we come to church, we ought to feel like we're among family. And I've said that before, and I encourage you, I know, I might as well beat my head against the wall for some of you. But let me encourage you, as your pastor, I love you. I want the best for you. You're missing a blessing by not coming to Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday school. We have a good, again, Sunday school. You can interact. To me, it's not a good Sunday school if I don't get some interaction and some discussion going on. Sunday night, much more informal. Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study. You are missing a blessing. And we should feel as we come to church like we're among family. Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says, brethren. He says, my brethren, family. Then he goes on, he says, dearly beloved. Now you hear preacher, dearly beloved, we are gathered together today to join this man and this woman. You hear that, right? But dearly beloved, what is the meaning behind that? Now it's used two times. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. And then at the end, he says, my dearly beloved. Why does he do it twice? I think he really wants them to know. You are dear to me. You are special to me. Now, the Greek word that this comes from is the word agape. Like agape love, right? Now, that's the high form of love, isn't it? That's the love, the self-sacrificing type of love that we are to have for God and really for one another. It's the love that's mentioned in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? And he's saying, he's using that word, and he's basically saying, guess what? You are special to me. I love you dearly. I love you even with a love that's supreme. Isn't that good? So, it says, therefore, because of all these blessings, that our citizenship is in heaven, we're going to have brand new bodies. God is all powerful. Jesus is coming back. Therefore, and he says, my brethren, family, 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 dearly beloved, those that are so special to me, I love you. Not just with a flippant, but I really love each one of you, Paul says to the Philippian church. But he goes on. He says, and longed for. Can you imagine the time that Paul spent under house arrest? Can you imagine? I'm sure that there was moments that he did a lot of praying, a lot of praising God and all that. But don't you think there might have been some quiet moments there that he says, oh man, I wish I could be free again. I wish I could go where I want to go. And you know, I believe this is a true statement. I believe that if you ask Paul where he really wanted to go, it would say, I want to go to Philippi. I want to see these brethren, this family that I have in Philippi, these fellow church members. I want to go there. I love them supremely, and I long to see their faces again. Can you see the bond that Paul has? And Paul gets after their hide some. He really does. And so every once in a while in this book, he gets after them and said, hey, you know, wake up. The Christian life is serious. You know, you need to. So just because someone gets in your face like your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or a good Christian friend that you have, it's because we love you. We want the best for you. You know what? I want every single one of y'all, I want your faithfulness to God to be so real and so genuine that when you stand before Jesus, you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want every one of you to hear it. Paul says, therefore, my brethren, family, dearly beloved, special to me, I love you, and long for, I'm longing to see you. But then he goes on and says, my joy. I don't know, when you think of certain people, do you have joyful thoughts? Now, I shouldn't ask you this, but when you think of certain people, do you have not so joyful thoughts? Like, I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person that when people think of Pastor Steve, there's at least a little glimmer of joy. You know, And he says, you know what? When I think about the church, I long to be there. I long to see you, but joy comes to me. I remember how special you are. And Paul says, I do that with joy, my joy. And then he goes on and says, my crown. Now, this is like a victor's crown or a runner's wreath that they would award in these games, these Greek games that they had. And they would award. Now, what is Paul really saying here when he says, not only my joy, when I think of you, I am joyful. Actually, he says in chapter 1, right when he starts writing to them, chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that something? Every time I think of you, I think Paul had a spark of joy, and he says, you know what? I thank God every time I think of you. I thank God for who you are. I thank God for what you're going to be. I thank God for your service to the Lord. I thank God for the fellowship that we have. I thank God that we're going to spend eternity together. So this was a special bunch to Paul. He says, my joy, and he says, and crown, or in other words, my crown. You know, rewards are real? I mean, really, it is. It talks about, I believe, five different crowns. I preached on them before or taught on them. There's five different crowns that we can win. And he says, basically, my crown. Do you think God will reward Paul for the church that is there in Philippi at this point? When he stands before the Lord and he is given account, don't you think God will say, hey, I'm going to reward you for your faithful service to the Philippian church? And how you started that. Absolutely. So not only are they his joy, but they're his crown. And there could be the idea of this, again, how special you are. Because I doubt if someone, when they won a crown, would take that very lightly in a race. And it's like, you are my crown, and I treasure you. You are special. I would think when the Philippian church heard this, they're like, wow, I think he likes us. I think he loves us. It says, therefore, because our citizenship is in heaven, because Jesus is coming back, because we're going to have a brand new body, because the Lord is able to do anything and he's above all, my brethren, family, dearly beloved, I love you. You're special. Long for, I want to see you. My joy when I think of you, it just brings joy to my heart and my life, and you are my crown. You are special to me. And then he repeats again at the very end, my dearly beloved. But what's the main point of the verse? When he says all this, what is he encouraging the Philippian church to do? Right there it is. So stand fast in the Lord. Now, he was close to this church, but this church was not perfect. If you read on, you find there's two ladies that aren't agreeing. I'm not sure why they use ladies, so don't pick on me, ladies, but there's two ladies here that are not getting along. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, that'll probably not be on the screen because I didn't tell her to put it on the screen, but I thought I'd go ahead and share that with you. You see, these two ladies, they're Christians, but they're not getting along. So this church, even though it was very beloved by Paul, it seemed like a solid church. It sounds like if you read all between the lines a little bit, there was some disagreement. There was a bit of dissension. Here's two ladies is not getting along. But it wasn't a perfect church. I've told people, if you are looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one. I mean, you give it time now. Churches can look perfect from the outside. Hello? They can look perfect when you're just kind of coming in and just a visitor and everything's good and everybody's smiling, everybody's putting their hand. But when you figure out how everything works in that church, there's no such thing as a perfect church. If you want to go try to find one, let me know if you find it. But let me tell you, you're not perfect. Oh, stress. He's encouraging us again. You're not perfect, and I'll guarantee you the guy behind the pulpit's not perfect. But you go looking for a church that's perfect, and you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. So this church had some problems. And there might have been some people in that congregation that said, I sat between Euodias and Syntyche, and I am so tired of the mean looks they're giving to each other in church. You don't know. It could have been that way. I remember somebody I was mad at. It was over some girl years ago. I was kind of mad at him, but we went to the same church. He said, this was bad. I'm a recovering backseat Baptist. He was not. He was a front seat Baptist. And guess what? Between the back and the front, if I'm looking at the preacher, I'm going to see him out of the corner of my eye. Wasn't good. I had to finally make it. You know what I had to do? And we got to do this sometimes. We're just going to agree to disagree and move on for the Lord. I had to do that. So who knows what was going on in this church? And there may have been some people that said, no, I'm going to quit. I'm getting out of here. Surely there's somewhere else I could. But God says, so stand fast in the Lord. Now, if God is leading you to move on, by all means you move on. And there are occasions where God leads someone from one church to another church. There really is. There, for a reason, because God has control of my life. But if you've got it in your brain that you're just leaving because of X, Y, Z, and da, 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 you need to make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. And a lot of people, when they're not happy with one church, they go to another church and they're not too happy with that church. Then they go to another church and they're not too happy with that church. And they go to another church. And let me tell you, a lot of them will continue to look for that perfect church and never find it. But some of them, when they leave one church they're not happy with, they just give up. It's like, I'm throwing in the towel. What did God do against you? People may have, who knows, maybe people did something against you, but God never did anything against you. So why give up on the Lord? And he gives them this encouragement. So stand fast in the Lord. And I looked up what does that Greek word mean? You know what it means? It means to persevere. To persevere. You know, regardless of how easy things may be going, or regardless of how bad things might be going, I've made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that to me is a freedom. Really it is. It's like when things are good, I'm going to praise the Lord. When things are bad, I'm going to do the best I can to praise the Lord. But regardless of anything in between, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to persevere for the Lord. Now, if you look at this this idea of persevering, and I don't think I'm going to get through the message today, unless you want to be, you want to stay till 2? Because we got to be here at 2 anyway, or shortly thereafter. We can just stay. Would someone go out and order pizza? I'm kidding, kind of. So, here we have, we're kind of making the transition to that phrase, so stand fast in the Lord. You know, the Bible mentions, this may be the only one we cover today, 5 areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Now, that same Greek word is used in all of these different areas that we're going to look at eventually. But of course, the first one, the obvious one, is right here. So stand fast in the Lord. And you might ask, why so? So, why is that word so there? Based upon all that I've just said. And then you go back. It's almost like a therefore that's there. Therefore, or so. And what was that? Citizenship in heaven. Jesus is coming back. Brand new bodies are coming. Jesus is Lord of everything. And I love you and you are special. So, Paul says, I want the best for you. And the best is, so stand fast in the Lord. Now, there's a possibility of 2 different thoughts here, and I'm just going to preach both of them. Stand fast in the Lord's strength. What does it mean, stand fast in the Lord? So first of all, what it could mean, and I believe it really means both of these, stand fast or persevere in the Lord's strength. You know the only way that you can finish your race for Jesus in a good way is by the power of the Lord. By the strength of the Lord working in your life. So stand fast in the Lord's strength. Persevere in the Lord's strength. Do you know where the problem normally comes up with our perseverance in serving the Lord? It's when we quit drawing on the Lord's strength and we start drawing on our own strength. And we're not strong enough. But I'm thankful that God is. You know, sometimes I call out to God and God, I just need you. I mean, I'm not too theologically big words or anything in my prayer sometimes. I'm just like, I try not to use big words anyway. They kind of strain my brain power a little bit. But I'm telling you, in this area of perseverance and going on for the Lord, and you've probably been there at some point in your walk with the Lord. Sometimes you just call out to God, God, I can't do this. It's got to be you. Lord, I can't go through this. But it's got to be you and your strength. Lord, this problem that I have, I can't handle it. But God, it's only going to be because of your strength. But I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep persevering. So one thing, stand fast in the Lord, could mean stand fast in the Lord's strength. You know, there's another verse in this chapter, chapter 4, verse 13. Does anyone know Philippians 4, 13 without looking at it? Hey, the preacher's wife gets a gold star for the day. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Isn't that good? I can do all things. Now, I think sometimes that verse is misapplied in a lot of ways. What it's talking about is when we're walking in life and we're going through life with the Lord's strength, I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. That's talking about, so I can persevere because of the Lord's strength. So stand fast in the Lord, in the Lord's strength. So let me encourage you, if you're feeling pretty blah and pretty down, and like, I just don't understand God why this happens, take a number and get in line. There's a lot of things I don't understand either. But I say quite often, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get this. But I don't have to. But I trust you. But rely upon the Lord's strength. If you can't muster anything more than a prayer like, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, it's all about you. Call out to Him. Stand fast. Persevere in the Lord's strength. But you know, another thought about this, and I think this is also very applicable, not only to stand fast in the Lord's strength, but stand fast in the Lord's service. Stand fast. So it could be saying, so stand fast in the Lord's service. Can I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to quit sometimes, isn't it? You like that? Can you believe someone said something mean about me? The preacher said that a lot of our congregation is old, and I think he was looking at me, and I'm mad. It's a whole lot easier to quit than it is to persevere. So I think what could be saying here is persevere or stand fast in the Lord's service. Again, people can let you down. Families can let you down. Preachers can let you down. God never lets you down. So why in the world, for a God that loved me so much, He sent Jesus, His only Son, to die upon the cross to pay for my sins, so and then resurrected Him back to life so that I could have eternal life? How in the world can I not persevere in my service to God? Why in the world would I throw the towel in? You know, we preachers, we scratch our heads sometimes. You know, people are so committed to their work. And that's a good thing. But I can't figure out how you can be so committed to your work and so uncommitted to your God. The God that loves you supremely. The God who made a way for you to go to heaven and give you eternal life. The God that saved your soul and washed the slate clean. The God who says, guess what? I want to spend eternity with you. How can we take God and His service so nonchalant, so uncommitted? I don't get it. I'll tell you. If I ever get it, I'll get out of ministry because I don't get it. And I shouldn't get it. For a God that loves me so much, I need to stand fast in the Lord's service. You've heard, I like that little thing that this one fellow wrote one time. I'll not back up, shut up, give up, because I've been bought. I'm going to go up someday, and I'm not doing it justice. But it's really cool about the commitment. And we need to have that commitment to persevere. Are things going to go wrong? Absolutely. Are people going to disappoint you? Absolutely. There might even be a Judas that has a knife that knifes you in the back. And you're like, huh? Right? You're like, how in the world? But that's not the Lord. So stand fast, not only in the Lord's strength, but stand fast in the Lord's service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Notice what these verses say. Same word that's used here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Same word. It says in verse 7, it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So Paul is writing to a different church, the Thessalonian church, but he's saying, you know what? Your faith has encouraged my heart. And then he goes down to the second verse, verse 8, and it says, for now we live. You know what a good word would be there? For now we are energized. We're alive. Why? If ye stand fast or persevere in the Lord. Wow. And Paul, as an apostle, can say that. But can I say that as your pastor? You wanna. What's the word? You want to crank my clock? You want to light my fuse? You want to make my day? Let me see a fellow Christian standing fast in serving the Lord. I mean, it's like, wow, that's great. Praise the Lord. Standing fast in the Lord's service. I guarantee you. I mean, I'm not going to say maybe or possible. I guarantee you there's going to be things in life that you don't understand. I guarantee you. There's going to be things in your family that you don't understand that almost knock you over. I'll even guarantee you, you're in a church long enough, some things will come up, and you're scratching your head, and you get your feelings hurt, and you're like, I think I'll quit. That's not the thing to do. If God has called you to the church and He's not moving you somewhere else, guess what? You need to persevere. You need to stand fast in the Lord's service. And I'll tell you, if I've done something to offend you, don't go hijacking it out of here and don't tell the preacher why you're leaving. That's crazy. Come to the preacher. We can't fix a problem if we don't know what the problem is. I've had people leave church before because I'm a preacher and I'm in ministry, and it happens everywhere. A lot of churches are like revolving doors. You get some in, you get some out. You get some in, you get some out. And I've specifically talked to people that have left the church. I'm talking to previous church. And I'm like, why did you leave? But it applies to all churches. And I say, why did you leave? I'm not going to talk to you about that. Well, could you at least give me an insight on why you might have left church? Not going to do it. I'm like, okay, that's very Christian, first of all. Secondly, how in the world can we improve or do better or make apologies or whatever we got to do? Do you know how many times a week I speak? And the next one, I figure I'll get an amen from Tim if he's around. But do you know how many words I say? Lots. And do you know, sometimes I just say things. We've gone home before, and not real recent, I don't think, but we've gone home in the past. And she says, Amy says, the one who got the star for the day, she'll say, do you realize what you said? And I'm like, uh-uh. What did I say? And, you know, it just didn't come out right or something. I'm telling you, the biblical principle about if you have a problem with somebody, let me tell you, this is as biblical as the virgin birth. You ready? When you got a problem with somebody, you're supposed to go to them. Stand fast in the Lord. Now, Stand fast in the Lord's strength under that, and also stand fast in the Lord's service. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. You probably heard me say that about 1,000 times, about 1,000 different passages, but this is really one of my favorite. It says, "Wherefore we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Other people have done it. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." So get rid of the distractions in life. Get rid of the sins in our life. And what? "And let us run with patience." You know what that word really is? A word we'd understand a little bit better? Endurance. Or you might say perseverance, right? It's not the same Greek word, but the concept is there. "And let us run with endurance," or perseverance, or patience, "the race that is set before us." We're eventually going to look at five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere today. The Bible clearly says in this verse, stand fast in the Lord. Just a reminder, that means to stand fast in the Lord's strength. And that means to stand fast in the Lord's service. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to ask you to respond in any way. But how resolved are you to stand fast in the Lord's strength and in the Lord's service? Have you essentially drawn a line in the sand and told the Lord, "Lord, I will serve you regardless. I will serve you if I'm the last person on this earth that's going to serve you. I will serve you." If you've not, right where you're sitting right now, from your heart, would you tell the Lord that with His help, that, "Lord, I will serve you. I will stand fast. I will persevere in the Lord's strength and in the Lord's service. I will not give up serving the Lord." Would you tell the Lord that with His strength and help? God bless your heart if you did that and meant that from your heart. God will bless you for that. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this one verse that we've looked at today. We thank You, Lord, for this standing fast in the Lord, in the Lord's strength, and in the Lord's service. Lord, help each one of us, Lord, in Your strength, to persevere. Lord, regardless of what happens, Lord, even if the mountain should fall into the sea, even if things just go wrong, even if our health is not good and we get bad news, regardless, even if I'm the last one standing to proclaim the gospel, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to stand fast. Help me to persevere with the Lord's strength and in the Lord's strength and in the Lord's service. Lord, help each one of us to have that resolve and to mean it from our heart. And Lord, may it be so that we will indeed persevere and stand fast for You. We pray this in Jesus' name.